would have been quite expensive, that kind of location, huh?
Absolutely not. It was a very, very, it was practically a free house, and I'm starting to understand why. Again, this would have been a Ziv
Yeah, as
save. Oh
soon
my
as you
gosh,
say that,
everything.
my alarm bells are going off. Okay.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Everything you told us in classes and podcasts not to do, not to buy, I bought it anyway.
Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over two decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. All right, so for today's episode, it's been a couple of weeks now. Hopefully you've missed me at least a little bit. Just wanted to give you some time to digest the awesome batch of presentations that we've posted from last month's Japan Real Estate Summit. And if you haven't listened to or watched those yet, scroll back a bit and do that. There's tons of information, project and market updates, product demos, you name it. Definitely one of our best summits yet. And in case you haven't jotted down the dates yet, the next autumn session of the Japan Real Estate Summit will be held physically in Tokyo and streamed online, as always, on the 17th and 18th of October this year. That's Saturday and Sunday as usual. Venue to be confirmed, but definitely in Tokyo. So if you are planning your next trip to coincide with the biggest and best industry event in English, you've got all the information you need now. So pause this episode, book your flight tickets today. And if you're already here in Japan, well, we'll see you at the summit. All right, so back to our usual routine. We've got two calls lined up for you today. This first one is a short audio-only call with a buyer who's in the market for a cheap holiday home. So he's looking to spend under 5 million yen. That's all up, including purchase costs, which is about 30,000 US dollars at today's rates. And he's wondering what he could actually buy for that amount around Fukuoka or Osaka cities. Is it feasible for him to buy a single family home? How old would it be and what he should be watching out for if he chooses to go that way? Or should he maybe consider a condo instead? And again, what would that budget get him exactly? He also wondered how remote viewings would work, how the purchase process would work exactly with him being overseas, and how we can help with all of that, how to work with Japanese realtors and other professionals, and how we can assist with all of the above. So have a listen, and don't switch off at the end of it. There's an even better call and a bit of a tale coming your way right after this.
Okay, sorry. Yes, go ahead, property-wise.
Yeah. So I'm looking for basically is for retirement. Basically, it's just for holiday home, right? But yep. Sometimes can be used for my daughters or my sons when they're traveling to Japan, for example, right?
Because okay, but not renting it out or anything like that, just for personal use.
Just for the personal use. But we're looking for because basically is from retirement perspective is probably our most use those apartment or IKEA will be in five years time. But yeah, so it's not for investment, so it's for the personal yep. use. Yeah.
Okay. And you mentioned 50,000 Australian dollars, which at the moment is about 5.5 million yen. Is that including the purchase cost or just the listing price?
Including the purchase cost,
Including
yes.
the purchase cost. Okay.
Correct.
Well, the minimum realtor commission these days is 330,000 yen. So let me just see what that gives you. So if we put in 10% purchase cost. Okay, so that gives us about 5 million yen if we want to factor in the per yeah.
Probably like 4 million, the property price, and then after that the cost.
Yeah, so the realtor fee is 330,000 yen minimum. They got that the minimum commission as of last year, so that gives us 5.1.
Yeah.
Okay, so about 4.7 million yen. I wouldn't buy a house, definitely not in those locations in that budget. That sounds to me more like a very suburban, tiny little studio apartment in a building that's maybe 30 years and younger if we're lucky.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Is that something suitable for you, or would you rather save up more? Because they're very small. I don't know if you've been in these studio apartments in Japan, they're tiny.
No, I never been so this is like I've been to Japan many times basically
Yep.
in terms of just for tourism and holiday across north side south. So we've been to Japan many times and everywhere, but never been to see the actual seeing the apartment for the purchase. Yeah.
Have you stayed in one of those cheap business hotels, the three-star
Yeah,
business hotel?
yes.
Yeah.
That's
So
correct, yes.
that's the size of the room. It's basically just
All right.
a bed and a
Yeah.
little bit.
Yeah, probably I'm looking probably like the size maybe above, maybe like 25 meter square above to 35 square meters. Probably a little
Okay.
bit
Well,
bigger than studio, and it could be maybe in a second city within the like for example like Fukuoka, maybe not in inside within the city Fukuoka, maybe Kitakyushu, something like that. Yeah.
the only way that would be feasible for 25 square meters would be a very old building, which means that your monthly building fees are going to be rising very rapidly. So, what's the maximum amount you'd feel comfortable paying on a monthly basis for condo fees?
Yeah, I understand that there's a management fee and then there's a reserve fee as well.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
In
Yeah.
total, how much is the maximum you'd be comfortable paying for that?
Probably I guess is about $100 monthly, I believe. Which is probably about maybe 50% for the management, 50% for the reserve, because
That's
that
not
will actually add
feasible.
up.
That's not feasible, August. I'm sorry. That's just not going to
Okay.
happen. So you're going to be looking at buildings that are at least 35 years, probably closer to 40 years, if you want 25 square.
Okay.
And then the monthly fees will, if they're not there yet, they'll very quickly go beyond $100 a month because those buildings are getting old and they need more renovation and more ongoing repairs. So your
Yeah.
options are either compromising on the size.
Yeah.
You could maybe buy an older wooden house at this price, but those come with very, very high maintenance costs. They'd also be very old, 40, 50 years and older.
Yeah.
And even if they don't have any structural issues, which I doubt at this age, we're probably going to find at least a few of those.
Yeah.
They're going to cost you a lot in ongoing maintenance and repairs. They're not really built to last at this age in Japan.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so
Would
I never been
it be
like
at all possible to compromise on the size? Maybe something that's under 20 square meters, let's say 18, 20.
Probably it depends as well, right? I think is definitely is can be once probably you suggest okay this is the property maybe I can have a look and then see where this actually is because I think 15 meter square I think is a bit too small and then 20 above 25 will be probably it will be at least is you can get a feeling a bit bigger than 15.
Yeah, but then it's not going to be $100 a month in ongoing maintenance. It's
No,
going to be a
no
lot
point.
older. It's going to be a lot older, and it's going to cost more. And if not on purchase, then within a year or 5 years at most, it's going to cost a lot more monthly.
Okay. And then in terms of like that's for the apartment. What about in terms of like small IKEA use homes?
Again, you're talking about 4.7 million yen. That means that the house is going to be something like 40 years or older usually.
Yeah.
And that comes with, again, very, very rapidly escalating maintenance fees. Again, they're a wooden structure. They're not built to last in Japan beyond 20, 30 years. So you'll be constantly patching them up and dealing with the hassles of maintenance and repairs. And also, well, obviously, if you're buying
Okay.
anything older than 30, we'd want to conduct a structural inspection before you purchase, just to make sure you don't suddenly have to pay another 10 million yen just to fix the foundation or the roof.
Yeah.
And each of those structural inspections will cost you about 1,000, 2,000 Australian dollars. So if we have to go through 10 of them before we find one that's in decent
Yeah, that
shape,
will be
that's like
cost a lot.
half your budget, right?
Yes, absolutely, you're right. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. I think this is my first venture to buy in Japan.
Yep.
And then definitely is I don't want to spend basically is a lot of money as a start. At least you can once you have one, at least you can fill it. And then probably for the second property maybe you might okay. And then you might spend a little bit more on the budget perspective.
I
But
understand, but if you don't want to increase the budget at all, then I definitely wouldn't recommend buying an older wooden house, because that will come with headaches that are unimaginable at this price level. So I
yeah.
would go for the condo unit, but I would go for something smaller if you want to fit it within that budget.
Okay. Yeah. So, how does it work in terms of your service? Because I'm interested because I'm watching your YouTube, and then there's an Australian YouTuber, and then you mentioned there is a service. I think you mentioned it's about 88,000 yen, and then that will be. Basically is reviewing the documents, and then you
Well,
gotta.
it's more than that. We'll guide the property research and the due diligence beforehand as well, so we save you money from having to, send somebody to do viewings on something that's maybe not suitable. So we'll first review the properties list together, try to
Yeah.
prioritize them, rule out the ones that don't suit, and then try to focus on only the ones that could be feasible.
Okay.
And then we will. Yes, we will also review the documents before you sign them, make sure there's no hidden surprises in there, make
Yeah.
sure that everything, no red flags that you're not aware of.
Yeah.
So that consulting package, it's a 10-hour retainer, which would usually be enough to walk you through one purchase.
Yes, okay.
And that's 88,000 yen at the moment, but as of 18
April.
April, yeah, it's
Okay.
going up to 110.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I like to engage you in terms of that service basically. I think is pretty much is with my budget and then with that service I think is it makes sense because the budget is not high and then the service is also affordable and then you don't want any hiccup along the run as well, right? So
Sure. Well, we're happy to, but just so you're aware of everything that's involved. So the total purchase price, including the agent's fee, will keep to about 5.5 million yen
That's correct, yes.
with all the purchase costs. Our consulting will be another 88,000 yen on top of that.
Correct, yes.
And we're going for condo units, because if we start going for houses, then you always have to also include about $1,000 for each structural inspection,
Yeah.
right? Yeah. And then somebody needs to go and view those properties for you. So what I'll do is, depending on the city, if you're looking at Fukuoka, we'll put you in touch with a local Fukuoka-based agent.
Okay, yep. Yeah.
But because the properties you'll be looking at are probably not going to be within Fukuoka City. It's like you mentioned, it's going to be somewhere like 45 minutes or an hour away,
Yes,
Kitakyushu,
yes.
Kurume, those kinds of places. So
Yep.
you will need to pay someone to go and do a remote viewing for you. So those trips can also be
I
100,
see.
200
Yeah.
bucks, right? I mean, the
Yeah.
agent will probably do viewings for free if it's within Fukuoka City, but if they have to travel for an hour, they will charge you for the trip. The agent
Okay.
or us or whoever goes will need to charge for the trip.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So in terms of the for example, like I'm going to Japan in very next week actually, right? I'll be in Osaka for 4 days, right? And then
Yeah, I saw Fukuoka 12 to 16 April, right?
correct. Yes. So in terms of like in Fukuoka, I think is definitely you have an agent there. And then what about in Osaka perspective? Do you have an agent contact there that I mean,
We
of
do.
course, depends
We
on
do,
the
yeah.
lease as well. Yeah.
Yeah, we do. But are there any other locations you had in mind? You mentioned Osaka, Kyoto, or Fukuoka. I'd probably put you into which of these locations appeals to you more, do you think?
I think it depends on the because I've been searching for the last 2 months. So using your basically I'm using your discount at the Akiya Mart,
Okay.
right? So I got some discount there. So I've been looking for last 2 months, and then I got all the safe property that I like to see it actually, and then
Including condo units?
some is condo unit. Yes, that's correct. Yes. Some is actually in Osaka, some is actually in Otaru, and then
Oh, that's a
from Osaka.
totally different, that's a totally different location.
Yeah, totally different location. Yes.
Well, I mean, we do have people that we can send with you. You're not going to be probably not going to be able to do the viewings yourself because the listing agent will always expect to have a Japanese company representing you and joining you. They're usually most of them are not able to handle foreigners on their own. So we will
Okay.
need to pay someone to go with you for the viewings.
Okay. Yep.
So I guess where are you find maybe the first step would be for us to review the listings together and see if they make sense or not. And then once we figure out which location has the most listings in it,
Yep.
then do you have those links with you that we can have a quick look at them together?
Yes, I have, but at the moment is I can send it to you after this meeting as if yes.
Okay, sure. So I think the first step would be send me that list. I'll review it quickly and give you just my 2 cents about which ones are maybe completely out of the question, which ones would be better to focus on. And then
Yep.
based on that, we'll decide which agent to use.
Okay, that will be
Okay?
wonderful. Yeah.
Because if most of them are in Fukuoka, then it'll be cheaper to use a Fukuoka agent. If most of them are in Osaka, Kyoto, it'll be cheaper to use. And if it's evenly distributed throughout the country, then I'd probably use a Tokyo agent because they can service most of the country.
Okay, so for example, like say that okay, I got like four property lists in Osaka that I wanna inspect, for example, during my trip, for example. Does that mean that I need to pay the agent company me together to see the properties, or how does it work?
Well, we prefer to work with a single agent
Okay.
because if we start spreading them out and you're looking at three in Fukuoka, then you're not buying any of them, three in Osaka, then you're not buying any of them, three in Otaru, and maybe you buy there, then those Osaka and Fukuoka agents, we've kind of wasted their time, and that's not really
I
something that
see.
we like to do because those are relationships are again, agents that can work with foreigners are rare in Japan. So
Yep.
or at least the professional reliable one. So we prefer to deal with one agent and then we'll send in somebody or they'll send in somebody in those cities to join you for the viewing. So for example, if we work with an agent based in Tokyo, they'll have a colleague based in Osaka, they'll have a colleague based in Fukuoka, they'll have a colleague based in Hokkaido, and
Yep.
those people will join you for the viewing, so it's a cheaper. We don't have to send them out from Tokyo.
Oh, of course, yes,
Yeah.
definitely, yes.
But we'd rather work with a single agent. So
Single agent, okay.
that's yeah. So that's why I'm saying let's look at the properties. If it looks like we're focusing on only one location, we'll use a company base there.
Okay.
But if it looks like they're spread out, like that might be the case, then I'll probably assign somebody from Tokyo.
All right, okay, I got it, yep.
Yeah.
All right.
So if you I'll reply to your last email with just a blank signature that's got my mobile number. If you can add me on WhatsApp, then we'll pick up the conversation there. I'll review the
Yep.
listings for you and we'll see which one makes the most sense.
Yep, definitely. So let me just have a look. I got written down here. other information that I need to. Okay, so I think I got all the information from you that you preference definitely is using a single agent service, which they
Yes.
have a colleague in other city. Yep, makes sense.
Correct. Yeah. And if it's in Fukuoka and Kyushu, then they might just send us. That'll be the easiest thing. We charge the same amount anyway, whether it's somebody else going or us.
All right. Okay. I think that's all. I think from my list. I think I got all the information from YouTube and then your podcast. They are very actually they are very useful.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're enjoying them. So, yeah, I sent you a blank email signature now. Just send me a little message on WhatsApp. Just tell me that it's August that we just spoke, and then I'll make sure that we can carry on from there.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Chief.
My pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Now, if you're actively looking at property in Japan, you should check out Akiya Mart. That's Akiya hyphen Mart, Mart, akiyamart.com. It's the Zillow of Japan, built for buyers who are actively hunting for a home in Japan and want a much more Western-style web browsing experience than the typical local Japanese websites. Now, we've got an exclusive 30% off promo code for the AkiyaMart Pro annual plan. That's the one that gives you full access to Airbnb zoning maps, hazard maps, sold data, and over 500,000 listings nationwide at any given time. So if you're serious about buying in Japan and you want an easier way to search, this is the best tool that we know of. So you can use my code ZIV, ZIV at checkout and get 30% off your AkiyaMart Pro annual plan at akiyamart.com. All right, so now for the second call. This one's with an old Japan hand and a regular guest at our annual Japan Real Estate Summits. She doesn't live here full time, but she knows the country well, and she's also very active in the real estate construction space in Hawaii, where she lives. After a few failed attempts at houses that she really wanted to buy it, but unfortunately couldn't, she eventually decided to purchase on her own with the help of local friends, acquaintances, assistants, and interpreters, and so forth, and through a traditional Japanese realtor. That is to say, somebody who is not bilingual and inexperienced in dealing with non-resident foreigners like herself. And so she came on the podcast to share everything that she's went through to date. What did she buy, where, and why? Why she didn't listen to any of our advice, and why this purchase might actually have made sense in her case, as well as why it might not be the best decision for anybody else. So her experience handling the purchase process, the renovations, all remotely, the nuances of septic tanks versus kumitori or cesspool slash pump sewage systems, dealing with cash purchases and overseas remittances, ongoing utility payments, maintenance, and so on and so forth. And how our content, even though she hasn't been following our advice in this case, how our content has actually benefited her in this process, which is far from over, by the way. So a really fun conversation with a very cool buyer who I gotta say I really admire for not losing her cool at any point during this very tedious process. Check it out, and I'll see you again one last time on the other side.
Yeah, so long time no speak. I wasn't even aware that you purchased the house. Please give me all the dirties.
Oh, there's a lot of dirty on this one. It was so interesting. And it's so you and I have been talking for a few years. It's not the house, it's a house. It's like the landing pad, so to speak. But I'll also so I'll be with you on the stream with Margot, as you already are very familiar with her. So we'll see you guys on that one. And then both she and I at the next one, if you're gonna do it in October, she and I both want to come to Tokyo. So we're going to be repeats for you.
We'll try to, thank you. We'll try to hammer in the dates as soon as we can. It's been very good for our overseas guests when they can get a bit of heads up on when it's happening. So yeah.
Great. Yeah,
But
so
it has to
it's
coincide with Burning Man, which is happening also in October. So it always has to be the weekend before or after, so I can stay in Tokyo and just go there.
okay. Well, good to know. At least now I'll know how to gauge your schedule. But yeah, so I mean, well, thanks for letting me talk with you about this. And I know you and I have been talking for a few years now. And yes, so I did get a house in Osaka, and it was a very interesting process. And it's one I'm constantly talking to others about. As you know, I'm in real estate. I've been working in real estate here in Hawaii, for a few decades now, not to date myself, and it's very different. It's very similar, it's very different, But I have more people wanting to obviously to buy in Japan. So they're like, oh, do you know anybody who oh yeah, you gotta call Crystal. I'm like, I have nothing to do with Japan real estate, but I can only share my experience and tell others they might want to do it similar or they really, really might not. In the big scheme of things, I actually do not. Zenzen, don't recommend unless you're really comfortable. I definitely think that my situation was so unique. I think if you knew what I was doing from the very beginning, you probably would have said, Crystal, I don't recommend this. But again, it was a practice. It was the practice house, and we got it. And the things that were wonderful about it, that the absolute check boxes. I am 4 to 5 minute taxi ride from Kansai Airport from Kix. Now, Hawaii, we have a lot of flights, either JAL or Hawaiian Airlines that fly directly into Kansai Airport. So that was really like, and Kansai Airport also seems to have other flights that go to different places. Like it seems like a really good airport for what I needed it to work for. So it's in Izumisano. So it's actually the little train station right after Izumisano Station. So that's another plus. And it's right across the street from a mall. Like my walk to the mall is like my house to the driveway. It is so close. It's 1 to 2 minute walk. I can go to Donki, Daiso, Uniqlo as many times as I need to.
Okay, that
There are
sounds like
some
it
cons.
would have been quite expensive, that kind of location, huh?
Absolutely not. It was a very, very it was practically a free house, and I'm starting to understand why. Again, this would have been a Ziv
Yeah, as
saying, oh
soon
my
as you
gosh,
say that,
everything.
my alarm bells are going off. Okay.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Everything you told us in classes and podcasts not to do, not to buy, I bought it anyway. But I really like the location, and I am having difficulties with some things with renovating. As you know, we're in construction too, so we have real estate, we also have construction. I don't want to come in and do the construction on this house myself because of the noise and because I don't fluently speak Japanese. I don't want to be disruptive to my neighbors, so I am hiring it out to a local renovation company.
I think the
But
techniques
I
are a
am
bit
going to do
different.
things,
The
oh,
technical
very
things are a
different.
bit different as well, right?
Oh, very, very different. So none of that stuff, I'm not going to actually touch anything like that. The house, the bones of the house is actually very good. It was built in 1975, but I do know why the house was as affordable as it was. It's like all of Izumisano is on sewer line. And then there's like 10 houses that are not. Guess what? I'm one of them.
Do you have a septic tank at least?
It's one of the small ones that's right underneath
But a
the
septic
really,
tank
really,
or a cesspool?
it's one of those. I'm not exactly sure, but the most difficult one to work with. So
Wait, but
the main reason,
have you used the house on a regular basis? Because if you
absolutely
do,
not. There is
no.
no working toilet. So I didn't know when I bought the house. It looked like there was a toilet there and it had a bidet seat on it, but I didn't know that the toilet actually didn't work and
Well,
how hard it would be.
if it's a cesspool, then you'll smell it once you start using it. I definitely get a septic tank in there, at least if it's not.
Well, there's no, so the property is only 400 square meters. Is it? It's very small, 400 square feet of land. So very small. It's in the United States, we would call that either a townhouse or in a like a condo. That's what we would call it. And so
400
the
square
house, my,
feet of land. Oh, wow. Okay,
it's
40, less
very
than 40
small.
square meters. So the house itself must be
Yes.
right all the way to the boundary lines, right?
Exactly.
Is it
And so the
rebuildable?
house, it is rebuildable, yes.
Really?
And I
Okay.
bought this specific house because the windows in the back part of the house opens up to an extremely large estate property that looks like a park. And so I have sunlight. It has very good sunlight and airflow into this particular house. So that was, the location, the windows being able to have that. But then again, I am finding out about the how to
And
replace the toilet. So I've been.
when you say good bones, did you actually run a structural inspection? Do you know that, or are you assuming that?
No, I did not. Just a renovation company, a local renovation, like a local renovation company to tell me what they would do at that time. So I knew, I didn't know the toilet was broken, but I knew some things about the house. Some things. And when I say some things, because of the way and how I acquired this property, I know more about other houses when I go to an open house more than what I know about my own house. It was very unusual. My I call her my cousin. She is a very close family friend, and in Hawaii, those type of friendships are more family-like than just a friendship. If it was not her, there's no way I would have even got this house at all because of the trust level. So she went through all of the hardships. She did, I didn't know she owned houses in Japan. She had no idea that I was buying a house in Japan. If you remember, you were trying to help me get a house last December. The house that I really like, that style, the traditional house with all the bells and whistles. And then we couldn't, we had that hard time because they didn't want to sell to a foreigner. So my heart was broken. And I actually said after that, I told my husband, I says, you know what? I'm not going to buy a house in Japan anymore. My heart is broken because I didn't get that house, but it's more broken because I was sad that the reason why someone wouldn't want to sell to a foreigner, like I do not want to be a problem. I want to come and make things, try to make it better. And if I can't make it better, I do not want to make things worse or uncomfortable for neighbors, for the community, for anything like that. So that's very important to us. And then, of course, right after I say that, my husband and I, we went to Japan alone. We went on a trip, just the two of us. And then, of course, then things started happening. And then I ended up, trying to buy that house. But it was very unusual because I did not, I went into it through my cousin, through my friend, and her realtor that she used, she did warn me. She said, this is going to be a wild ride. He's not going to communicate with you, not for anything. And I'm like, okay. And that's why I said the price point being where it was, I was okay with that. And I'm thinking, well, he's a licensed realtor, and he is. But I'm like, he has to at some point reach out to me. He absolutely never once through the entire transaction. He would not go to make any attempted contact to or through me. He went through my friend's translator. So it was kind of this unusual process. He had a relationship with the translator who independently had the relationship with my friend, and then she would have to then get information back to me. I was definitely, not used to that style coming from a completely different way on how I personally do things,
Well,
and
it's
that's why
kind
I
of
say
like
for
Chinese whispers. I wonder how much information gets lost along the way, right?
oh, 100%. It because she had done so much for me, I had assured her during that whole process, even though people were telling me, Crystal, just back out. And I'm like, I'm not gonna back out. Like, it's even if I lost, I did it as the practice house because I was like, okay, it would be very devastating, but at least it wouldn't financially ruin me to that point. I says, I have to go through this process. Maybe it's a pay to play, and maybe I have to go through this process just to see how it is. So I did go through that process, like you said, that whisper. That really was very messy and confusing because I never got paperwork. I never understood really, like, well, what was going on, like with information. And like one of the things, like for me, I thought it was a good thing. I had gone through a very painstakingly slow process to establish a bank account in Japan. That is a very, very rare thing, definitely for another podcast. And it's a hard thing to get. It's not easy. You have to go through a lot of hoops to have a bank account. From what I saw, I had to fly to Tokyo several times, establish my identity, and so forth to have my bank account with
And
the bank.
you have to keep a large amount of money there at any given time, you said, or assets,
So
right?
you have to have certain parameters, exactly. So
Yeah.
you have to meet what they set up. So I did that. So I thought, I said, oh, well, this will be easy to buy the house there. But I think because I didn't have a relationship with the agent who was helping me on the buyer side, it actually made things much more complicated and difficult. And one of the things that is hard, a lot of people very simply use in a very easy way, Wise. Unfortunately, my bank here does not participate with Wise, something to do with like security policies, but I couldn't get set up with Wise. So I had to literally pay for my house in cash. I had to get the cash from the bank in Japan and go and take it to when we came to closing day, or well, deposit day or closing day. I had to pay it all in cash. And let me tell you, I think I probably would rather not buy another house in Japan than ever buy another house in Japan paying in cash.
So
It's
what,
just
you
a
like
very
the whole
unusual.
suitcase full of cash walk from the bank to the agent's office? Okay.
I personally, I have never done that in my life until that, and I felt weird. I almost felt like I was doing something wrong. I just didn't. I had my son and my uncle, which my uncle, my dad was born in Japan. His siblings are born in Japan, so my uncle is fluent in Japanese. That's why I would have thought that the realtor would have talked to my uncle once they, he knew my uncle could communicate very clearly. Anyways, I have the two of them walk, my uncle and my son walking behind me the entire time. Yes. So if you don't have to, I really, and I guess maybe it's not as uncommon here in the United States. That would be illegal. We're not allowed to do that.
With the bank, your
But
bank not working with Wise is weird. I mean, what do you mean? They refuse to transfer funds to a Wise account?
yes, and it is they might block it. They very frequently block it. And
Okay.
are you familiar with, like, in Hawaii we have, or in the United States we have banks, and then we also have credit unions.
Yep.
Okay, so yeah, so some credit unions, mine being one of them, does not. It'll block that type of transaction. So
With any
I could
foreign
have
exchange
actually,
service or specifically with
no.
Wise?
With Wise, there at that time there was some unusual things that were, and it might have been just a temporary thing, with victims of fraud. And I can tell you, very close to my own personal circumstances, sometimes there are like bank theft, bank fraud, hacking into accounts. And so that was happening right when I was trying to buy my house. So that's part of the reason why. So I really assured them, if my bank in Tokyo cannot get you the funds, I will get it in cash, which is what. And so I stayed with my word. So I did. I had the I paid in cash.
Now, if you've attended any of our recent JREP Summit events in Tokyo or online, you've probably heard our sponsor, Robert Miller from Innovatius.com. He's been in Web Dev Solutions here in Japan for the past 25 years, and he's also an active investor in Japanese real estate property, as well as global online property, which is his specialty and what his company, Innovatius, is all about. They offer a full suite of website services for entrepreneurs and small business owners, including all aspects of web design and management, backup and updates, content formatting and editing, proactive maintenance and error fixing, you name it, with a strong focus on SEO excellence, which is what gets you those hardcore top of the list search engine rankings. But there is a difference. Innovatius works off a simple, all-inclusive monthly subscription model, as opposed to the typical outdated and confusing project model. So you never have to wonder how much any request for any work to be done on your website might cost. It's always $497 per month. And if that's not enough, if you've mentioned you've heard of their services on the Japan Real Estate Podcast, you'll also get 10% off this monthly price for life. Also, and equally important, if not more, you can try out Innovatius for just 1 month then switch them off, on again later if you want, and so forth. There are no minimum subscription terms. Now, if you're a small business owner, managing and growing a website is super distracting and time-consuming, right? That's exactly where Innovations comes in. Robert's team takes care of all of that for you so that you can focus on what you do best. So feel free to email Rob on robert@innovatius.com, and his team will conduct a full SEO and website audit on your site, reveal anything that you should address to increase your website's appeal, and provide you with an easy-to-read detailed report with your own branding so that you can make some informed decisions on your online strategy and watch your business grow as you implement it. So once more, robert@innovatius.com. Drop him a line and get your website reviewed today.
And, you know, we ended up getting the house. I do have the title. I have all of the documents. A couple of things that when I was in the very unprepared phase, one of the things that helped me and just changed everything for me is that I could see that my friend having her own translator was a great help to her. So I went to her translator first, and I asked her privately. I said, would you be a translator for me? And she says, oh, I have to ask, you know, so-and-so. And so I felt really bad about that. And I said, oh my gosh, I think I offended her. I don't know what I just did there. But I felt like I did something wrong. And then I didn't hear back for a few days. And so I reached back to her. I says, I'm so sorry. If that was something offensive that I should not have done, that was not the intention that I was coming from. And she was like, no, not at all. They are trying to set up their own, maybe trying to help foreigners or maybe just Hawaii people. And so that was something that they were in. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do that. I have no idea yet if they are doing it exactly, if they're setting it up. But when I was waiting for her to reply, just because my clock timeline was ticking down, I actually went onto a platform that had, offer services like this, translation services, virtual assistant. And I was looking at many profiles. One stuck out to me very, very much. And the timeline of it, she specifically did real estate transactions and translation work. And she did one just days previous to when I was reaching out to her, and the family was giving her a wonderful review. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's everything I need. So I reached out to her and I was like, oh, she might say no, this might be just too complicated. And I reached out to her. We had a meeting, we had a Zoom meeting. And when she agreed to take on communication for me, she also, within maybe an hour or so, because she's so accustomed to doing this for people, she had so many packets. This is the process. This is what you should have. The fact that I didn't have a lot of the things. Yes. And so that is when I really realized I did not have a lot of the information that I should have had. But then she also reassured me. She says, this is a legitimate, this is a legitimate transaction. She's like, you are going to be okay. She's like, you might not have the information that feels bad right now, but you are getting the house. Because to me, I guess like the main part of it was, okay, let me just get the house. And so she gave me that I share with other people. It's like step by step of what to expect, the timeline. She's the one who prepared me. She says, you're going to need a guarantor in this country to pay for your taxes because, and so I don't know if you're experiencing that for everybody, but in Izumisano, I absolutely needed it. It was not optional. It's required.
No, it's not, so it's not just Izumisano. It's all over the country. Yeah.
Okay. So that was, I didn't actually know before she had told me that. And so we had gotten these things set up, and she already was preparing me for the next steps, utilities, and just everything. How do you sort your garbage? I've never had to do it yet because I haven't actually gone to stay in the house until after the renovation, but just with pictures, like how to do things with pictures. And she even told me, she says, you know, it will be easier on you if you get set up with a Japan cell phone. So I have my American cell phone, I have my Japan cell phone. Compared to the United States, I mean, I pay, I think, $16 US per month to have that phone line. But it, she said it will be easier because she says in Japan, your phone number or line, and it, they're going to use it as to identify you. So even though she handles everything for me, I have these things in place. So that part of it.
She sounds really good, actually. I wouldn't mind an introduction. Some of our customers could use her.
1,000%. And I trust her and she trusts me. We have this relationship. I have chicken skin just talking about it. Like even my family has met her. She just helps our whole family with so much more than just this. And she's so good. And yes, I'm happy to share that information. In fact, when we come to the next one, whenever that is, next October in Tokyo, yeah. She'll be there. She wants to know because I'm always talking about Ziv. I'm talking about everything.
Thank you.
She wants to meet who I'm talking about. But yeah, so that part, it really changed. And she is helping me with the renovation. So we started the communication process with the renovation the day I got the keys. And so it's taken now, I think we're at week 10 or 11 right now. It hasn't started.
Did you get your quote already? Do you know how much it's going to be?
I know how much my renovation is going to be. It's 3.5 million for the renovation. And so if you remember Shu from IKEA Hub saying, if you can't afford to buy it twice, don't buy it once. That's a very true statement. So like seriously, like I tell this to everybody, I pass that on. Like just be prepared for the unprepared. For what you might not know, what will happen. And so some of the things is more, if it was critical, then yes, I'm like, you know, make sure that if there's anything that needs to be patched, most of the things are cosmetic. There's all of the rooms, the doors slide open, windows slide open very easily. It didn't seem like there's tilt or shifting or anything like that. So the house really does, even though it's small, it's only 700 square feet. So what is it, 660 something square meters. It feels really good.
Have they looked at the foundation, the roof? Did they tell you what sort of...
So the roof does need patches. There's no active leaks right now, but they said that there could be. So that is one of the things that we're going to start
stuff.
Working
yeah.
on right away.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So those kinds of things. And then there was a outside roof leak with a balcony. And so it dripped into the overhang in front of the front door. So we're getting that fixed and replaced. The hardest thing is honestly the toilet because of the style. And I don't know if you are experiencing this, but Toto has there's some operation shutdowns right now with renovations.
No.
This is only in Japan for the past 2 days with the shipping
happened?
Because the...
Okay.
Yeah, so right before I got on this podcast with you, I need to be sure if I have to fly to Japan this week to grab a toilet, take it with me on the bullet train to somewhere else, I will do it because that's how important it is. I can't come and use my house until there's a toilet.
Yeah.
And that is a big problem, I guess, that's happening is because they said any... new orders, there's a pause until they can figure things out. Something about something that needs to get shipped in, they can't. They're just having too hard of a time. Japan cannot get what they need.
That's probably still a Ukraine thing, I think, with shipping routes have been... I mean, Iran is mostly an issue for oil transports, but everything else that's coming into Japan is usually related to the Ukraine conflict, unfortunately.
So something has happened in the past 2 days. And so my contractor actually is willing to move our schedule up And so he really wants to start next week, but who I have my VA there, she's been trying yesterday and today. Can we get the toilet? Are we for sure getting the toilet? Are you sure? And we don't have that answer yet, because that's kind of like everything else is frou-frou. You know, it's to make it look pretty. The toilet is the one functional thing that is prohibiting me from being able to utilize the house.
Well, I'm still wondering about your sewage system. I'd love to see that quote to see if it
It's I
actually
I'll send you a
includes.
picture of it. It gets pumped like every other month, so you have to call and
So
they'll
that's
come
a
and pump it.
okay, that's a Kumitori pump system.
Yes.
That will stink to high heaven when you start using it. You definitely want to get an estimate for a septic tank. It'll probably cost you another 1 million yen, but it's going to be well worth it.
Right. So that's what we're working. That's all the things that's happening right now that I might be at a standstill if we can't get that right, the items that they need to order. And I don't know that they got the order in, because we're not scheduled to start for like another week or so. And we were kind of in this weird, like we had no communication for about several weeks. They were taking very great care to prepare the quote. They sent the first quote, and they did say, we're going to put more than the things that you want to do on it. And so we're just going to start taking things off. But I got a little nervous because there was so much time that had gone by that we didn't have any communication. And then now it's like, okay, we have to just to not have problems, because this is a bigger issue with certain operations shutting down for a little bit, because of the, you know. So yeah, that's where we are there.
Well,
But
I
we
mean,
also are
you are in real estate and you are in construction. So in your case, I guess it does make sense to hire a VA or actually hire somebody to. I'm just curious, ballpark figure, don't get specific, but what's the VA costing you on a monthly basis to manage these kinds of things, the purchase, the renovation? Like, are we talking hundreds or thousands, or how much does it cost?
No. A couple hundred per month, but I have her doing so many tasks, and so most weeks in the beginning, it was maybe 10 hours per week only that I was, and so a VA can run you anywhere from like $20 per hour, but I've seen some VAs listed for $50 USD per hour. So there are different ones, and my VA is so good. Like I we took a trip just a few weeks ago, and so we met with her, and she does so much more above and beyond. Like she's so good at everything real estate, because like we were looking at other properties. Like I mentioned, this was a house, but it's not the house. And so because we're still on the search for the big traditional, bigger house, like 300 square meter or bigger, hopefully two toilets that are not Kumitori, that's on sewer, if possible, or really big septic tanks or big land, so you can have the proper septic tanks. That's really what we're looking for. So it's going to take time, and if we do see the right one, then absolutely I'm going to buy it. I'm not going to hesitate. But we're still looking. And some come close, and it's just if some needs a lot of work, it depends on the work, because there's, like I said, there's a lot of work that we are very comfortable because we know what we can do, and that's what we do. But if it's outside of the scope of what we can do, then it's like, we might have to, we're just looking for the right property. And for us, I would rather, in some instances, I prefer a non-renovated house if the floor plan is correct. If the floor plan works, I would rather have an untouched house ever. I would rather do it. So it's just finding that right one.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So really the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens. And they're just a delight to stay in, fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know. They're tiny, they're noisy, fine for a night or two if you're on your own, but longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home, with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today, see how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now back to the podcast.
Okay, so I mean, it sounds like a hassle, but the experience doesn't sound horrible, right? Like you sound pretty happy with the results.
Oh, I'm so happy. So the end result, I'm very happy. Now, would someone else, if they experience the heart attacks that I was having, they might not be used to zero communication from their realtor. I do feel that people have suggested that in Japan, it's pretty common that you just go straight to the listing agent. And so I have realized, now that I have this house and I've just looked at many properties in the past couple weeks with my VA, the listing agent provides so much information. Mm. They give you so much. So having that right there up front, that's my preference versus the way that when I bought, I didn't know what was happening, when was I meeting? I think the hardest thing for my transaction and why when it did get rough, it actually, maybe it wasn't the transaction. It probably was more translation because the dates of our meeting times, I was told, no, once they give you a date, you are golden. They changed three times. And so for us in our company, it's very hard to reschedule. And they just made it seem like, oh, just come to Japan for a month. Like, it's no problem. For me, that is a problem. I have things I have to do. And so we had the first time change. And then it got changed again. So the first time had the great deal on ticket prices from Hawaii to Osaka. It was under $600. I couldn't believe it. But that was non-refundable tickets. So when that date changed, I lost all the tickets, all of them. So for all three of us, it was gone. And then to rebook the days that they were giving me the second and third time around, it was like 10 times the amount. It was just ridiculous.
I'm trying to wrap my head around this. So you're talking about a VA at a minimum about $20 an hour. So if you're using her for 10 hours a week, that's like $800 a month-ish, right?
Oh yeah. So my tickets is before I had her. Yes. So that was once she came into the picture. She came into the picture the day I landed in Osaka. So I didn't have her through the stress. She got me out of the stress. So that's she is the one. She if I would have had her even 3 days before. a lot of this probably maybe wouldn't have happened, but the realtor who was helping me would never communicate with me anyway. He would only talk to my friend's translator. No ifs, ands, or buts. Nobody else but her. So I was out of luck, no matter what, in that department. So
you
that
know
was
that
the
there are
thing.
You know that there are buyer side foreigner friendly bilingual agents who can at
there
no
was.
Extra cost. Okay.
So I know that from you. However, because of the way this transaction was already established with my cousin, they told me if I did it any other way with anybody else, they would
that particular
not.
House had to have gone that way. Okay, got it.
Because it was already established. Like it already started through her. She had even asked me, she offered. She said, she's like, Crystal, do you want me to just buy it for you and we figure out in the end? And so that was an option. Like that was so kind of her to even offer me that. And so when I was at my buying trip last, you know, a couple weeks ago, I have one friend, and I wouldn't do that for many people, but for this one friend I would. And they had asked me, they said, if it's available, will you buy it for us? And I said, yes. I'm like, okay. Yeah. So, you know, I would pay it forward in that sense as well. But I do. I definitely understand. I remember you telling me that. But if for that, for this house, for that situation, for that day, for me to acquire it from her already starting it, it was that way or no way. And so she promised me, she's like, you're going to get the house. It's going to be wild, but you're going to get the house. And I ended up getting the house. Like I said, it's really the location of that house. Just, it's simple. And even if I don't stay there all the time, since you have helped so many Hawaii people, we have a little group of friends in this very small town. So there's a lot of us and we own houses all over Japan, and we have houses here in this one very tiny community that I live in. And we're like, do you want to share your house? Like I stay at your house for this week, that and we
oh,
just
cool.
kind of do circles. Yeah. And so we're just all, we haven't, I again, I don't have a toilet, so I can't offer mine. But starting this summer, and everybody wants to start with or end with mine because of its location. Kansai Airport back to Hawaii is easy. It's so easy. And so I don't have the big beautiful house like they do, but I have a very convenient house. I'm by where
and
all
you're
the hotels
sure
are.
It's rebuildable. It's definitely rebuildable.
Oh, definitely rebuildable. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because the land plot is tiny with current
it's
zoning regulations.
Very tiny.
That's very
you
rare.
Cannot
okay.
build you cannot build bigger. It's in bold, like you cannot. Absolutely. You can build smaller, but you cannot build it at all bigger.
Okay. Well, congrats. You got there.
Well, after how many seminars and sessions and you know, with you, and I'm still not done, you know. I'm every time, you know, so I've done the seminars twice already. I learned something new every time. It's something new that was helpful. So I was taking information that, and especially your podcast. I always, so when I send, you know, if anybody does tell you, oh, you know, we know Crystal, we know Margot, you know, whoever, it means a lot because I try to not send anyone that's kind of flaky, you know, because we get in real estate, I get tons of flaky and it's just like, it wastes so much time. You want the real people who's going to have results.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I love bringing business your way. And your business has expanded. Congratulations.
We appreciate it. Yes, thank you. But I mean, your background in real estate and construction is probably the entry ticket to trying to do this on your own. I wouldn't advise that to anyone who's not actually familiar with what they're talking about, right?
Well, that's exactly why where I say the hardships, if when for those couple of days, pretty much total nervous breakdown days for me, it was just very, very difficult. Questions being asked, my bank asking a question, my bank saying, it's very odd that you don't have this paperwork. And then I'm trying to tell my cousin who's trying to tell her translator, and it's neither here. You know, it was just like those couple of days. I think the average buyer would have absolutely walked away. And I just said from the very beginning, no matter what, I'm not going to walk away. If I have to, even if I didn't get title to the house, if that's what it's going to take for me to save face, I'm going to go through with it, because that is like, that's very important here in Hawaii, because we have a small community. I really feel that way in Japan. And now that I do own a house, any house, right? A house. I do know, I do see that I'm treated differently. Like when, even when I am looking at other properties with my VA, she explains to them, oh, she has a house in Osaka, and they're just, they know. And even some of them, they know how serious I am. They don't even speak English, but they have emailed me using Translate, and I have such a deep respect. Like I work in that business. Especially, I have to give a shout out. There's a company out in Niigata, and you know I love Niigata. I know snow. Tsubame Sanjo area specifically, not as much snow. That company, the customer service is amazing. He emails me with Translate. He sends me. He knows what I'm looking for.
Oh, what are they called? So give him a shout out, please.
Yes. It's Shiwase Home. And Shiwase Home. It's there, Tamura-san and Ikeda-san. I think Ikeda-san is the CEO. They're very, very good.
And they're so okay working with foreign buyers, obviously.
It's not what they do. They don't speak English, but the process and the care that they put into sending an email with a video property tour, and the information they provide, even though it's not written in English, I'm looking at the blueprints. They send me blueprints in email, and I'm like, wow, that's good construction. Like you can see the quality and craftsmanship, especially in the old houses, the way they notch the wood. I mean, I love that company. And when they find me the house, I really look forward to working with that company because of the great care that they give.
That's good stuff.
So yes, that's good.
Oh, thank you. And keep me posted on the renovation, because I'm really, the only thing from everything you told me so far, the only thing I'm worried about is what it's going to smell like when you start using the toilet. So let me know if you can put in a septic tank.
Especially the what they're going to renovate it with, and the type of toilet. It's a flush toilet. It is a blocking flush Western. Nothing about it looks different.
No, I mean the sewage system. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're still going to be the property manager for it, when it's done, it's got to have like my seal of approval. You know, like how I am designing it, especially with the interior design and how it's going to function. I think you will be very proud, and you will be proud to represent it and do the property management, because it'll be good.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thanks for your time. And thanks. I mean, it's not really a cautionary tale, though. It's kind of like it's actually inspiring. So if you know what you're doing and you're ready for the project and you're ready for the hassles, then don't try and get on your own is not necessarily the worst idea. Just get ready for what you're getting into, right?
I guess it's just to be prepared for the unexpected. And maybe not everybody will have that type of support system. They might not have a family member to do that. But so my advice, absolutely have someone working with you on your behalf. I know your company does it. I know, you know, even other ones that you recommend. I still do advise that, because somebody might have just a family friend that doesn't know what they're doing. You know, like it might not.
Yeah, they need to know real estate at least a little bit. Yeah,
they have to know real estate at least, because where I was coming from is, if this was in the United States, it could turn into a lawsuit like that. Like, what do you mean you did not tell me that the toilet was broken? Like not explaining that you have a very difficult to replace broken toilet. If that was here, that would be obviously you would be talking to attorneys. And so it's avoiding those types of things. But if you, I'm happy to share this with you too, the cheat sheet that my VA provided me. I am actually also making a cheat sheet. I think that if you have the structure, if your house is structurally good, no tilt, I know you have access, you know, with who you work with, to getting inspections. Even though I didn't have it done that way on a very cheap house, any other property, especially not a cheap house, get an inspection. So I need your, I listen to you, I listen to myself for those type of things. And again, my affordable property, there aren't any in this price point anywhere near me. It's all at least five times plus.
No, not at this
As I
location,
said,
no,
I
I'm
can,
sure.
yes, in this location. But then again, I'm in a unique because I do have a downfall. I have a pitfall, because I'm working through that. So now, yes, when you're buying a very inexpensive property, there is usually a reason, and you need to maybe, because I did not find out that reason. I owned the house, and then we found out the reason. So it makes makes more sense. But things are scheduled to change for my house very, very soon. Like I said, there's only maybe 10 houses. I'm the only little circle that is not on sewer. Everybody else is on sewer, including three houses down from me. So
Okay, so that's
if
expanding,
I wanted
hopefully.
to, it is expanding. We're the only area left in the whole area. And I mean, if I wanted to, I could pay to actually, but it would be several million to tap into the sewer.
Yeah, the
It's
longer
a
they have
little
to
too
run the
far for
pipes, the
me.
more it's going to cost. Yeah, obviously.
Now, if I buy my neighbor's houses, if they ever want to sell to me, the ones right next door, I would pay to have it all put on sewer.
Oh, good stuff. Thanks for the update and photos,
Thank you.
video, walkthrough videos, like
Yes.
progression. Yeah, please don't be shy.
Oh, you will
Send them
laugh.
our way.
You're gonna laugh, but especially, yeah, I think you will approve.
That's awesome. Great talking to you, Crystal, and hope
Okay,
to
and
see
I'll
you in
see you next
October. Yeah.
week.
Oh, in the streaming
Oh no,
room.
well,
Yes,
I'll see you on
please.
the stream line. Yes. Yes, that
Awesome.
sounds
Talk to you
good.
soon. Thank you.
All right.
Bye
Aloha. Bye.
bye. So there you have it, folks, the awesome Crystal Souza and her adventures in Japan real estate land. I'm really curious to hear your thoughts about this one. Drop me a line in the comment section. Now, we can't let you go without telling you all about Yen Loans, our latest sponsor. They're a new non-bank lender offering financing to non-residents of Japan for purchases of Tokyo condominiums, soon to be expanding to other major cities as well. So definitely hit them up if you're looking to purchase in Osaka, Fukuoka, Kyoto, or any other big city too. And that's for any purpose, whether it's a holiday home, investment rental, or a combination of both, without any requirement for residency, a Japanese bank account, a Japanese corporate structure, or representative director, any of these things, and with a streamlined application process too. So reach out to them through the link in our show notes and let them know that you found them on the Japan Real Estate Podcast. And if you're quick enough to be one of the first 10 completed applications, you'll receive a 25% discount. That's 50,000 yen off the 200,000 yen application fee. To qualify, apply through the link in our show notes again, or enter the code JREYL on their website, yenloans.com. And that's it from us for this episode, folks. Huge thank you for tuning in. Please do follow and subscribe to the show if this is your first time listening, and we'd love it if you could like and even share this episode with anyone you think might find interest in it. But even more importantly, we love hearing from you. So please let us know what you thought about this episode or the podcast overall in the comments section here on our social media channels. We've got a very active Facebook group and business page, both under the name Japan Real Estate on Facebook. And that's also the name and URL of our YouTube channel if you'd like to follow us there, Japan Real Estate on YouTube as well. And we'd of course appreciate your rating or review on Spotify or on the Apple Store or wherever you're tuning in from. Hope to have you with us again. Have a great rest of the day or night ahead. Yoroshiku.